How many of you need a word from God today? How many of you need a word from the Lord? Amen. I like what Kenneth Copeland says. He says, one word from God will change your life. Amen. So we're going to believe God to speak to us through Todd this morning. Amen. So if you'll find your seats, go ahead and find your seats. And let's once more welcome this man of God. It's a gift to have you here today, Todd. Why don't you come? Father, we just thank you for this gift from you. We pray your blessings over him today, God. Just let the anointing fall in this room and just open our ears to hear. And just bless this speaker today, God, because he's your mouthpiece, he's your man. And just use him today to speak in Jesus' name. And everybody said,
amen. Thank you, Jeremy. Good morning again. I was just thinking that after sharing about our mission work, there's so many things I would love to tell you about and stories, but I want to get right into the word this morning. So today I want today's word to really inspire and encourage your faith. I believe that we're living in strange, difficult times, and I believe that all of us are going through different types of things and seasons in our life. And this message that I want to share today with you is, it's a message that I've been meditating on, and God has been, I'll say it like this, the Holy Spirit has been drilling this message into my life over the last couple of years because of my own personal experiences that I've been going through. And so I believe that as I share this with you, some of the things that God has been speaking to me and doing within me to help me gain victory in situations and circumstances in my own life, family, and ministry, I believe that these same principles will ignite that fresh fire of faith within your heart with regard to whatever you may be experiencing in your life today. Every one of us, we go through seasons and situations in our families, in our finances, in our health, in our businesses, in our ministries, in just living this life. And so my hope is that you will be inspired and encouraged in whatever it is that you are going through in your life today. The last few years, Julie and I have been in what I would call the battle of our life for a special person in our lives. And we've learned how to live by faith many years ago. In December last year, I celebrated 40 years of following Jesus. I was born again when I was 16, and I celebrated following Jesus for 40 years. It'll be 41 years next month. But I continue to learn and develop and continue to apply some of the same principles of living by faith that I did when I was in my late teens and early 20s. And so some of this might sound like a reminder to you. Many of you probably may already know the principles that I'm going to be talking about, but sometimes I think we simply need to be reminded, stirred up by remembrance of the things that worked for us when we first started our journey with Jesus. And so, like I said, we've been in what I would call the battle of our life for someone in our family, someone that we love dearly. And I think I may have shared some principles with you. I was here a year ago in March, so and I remember what I preached then, but I think I actually did a video call-in to the church in the middle of COVID from Thailand. And I'm going to share similar principles from that message with you today, so you might hear a little bit of repetition from what I shared with you then. But I want to encourage you to open your Bibles with me to Philippians chapter 4. Philippians chapter 4. And I've been meditating on this chapter for months. And so I want to narrow into a verse, but I want to read a few extra verses because it's so rich and it's so good. And I just hope that your hearts and your spiritual ears are open and ready to receive this word today. In Philippians chapter 4, let's just start up in verse 4. It says, "Always be full of joy in the Lord." I'm reading from the New Living Translation. "Always be full of joy in the Lord. I say it again, rejoice." This to me is an attitude that God is saying, hey, stay in this place. Stay full of joy. Even in the midst of your greatest battles, maintain that joy and rejoice in the Lord. For let everyone see that you're considerate in all you do. Remember, the Lord is coming soon. Verse 6, don't worry about anything. Okay, I'm going to pray and we're going to finish the message right now. That's all you needed to hear. Don't worry about anything, it says. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. If you do this, you will experience God's peace, which is far more wonderful than the human mind could understand. His peace will guard your hearts and minds as you live in Christ Jesus. And now, dear brothers and sisters, let me say one more thing as I close this letter. Fix your thoughts. Fix your thoughts on what is true and honorable and right. Think about these things that are pure and lovely and admirable. Think about things that are excellent and worthy of praise, and keep putting into practice all you learned from me and heard from me and saw me doing, and the God of peace will be with you. So many rich things that we could dive into in those verses right now. But I want to go back up to verse 6, and this is what I want to emphasize to you today. It says in verse 6, don't worry about anything. If you could just imagine right now, with whatever it is you may be going through in your life or whatever you may be going through next week or next month, imagine for a moment if Jesus were standing before you and He simply says to you, don't worry about anything. I want you to hear Him saying that to you, because some of you have been worrying about some things. And Jesus is saying to us today, don't worry about it. This message came to Julie and me one time. We were in the mornings, many mornings, we walked around our neighborhood in Thailand together for exercise and our time of talking with one another. And we were just, I'll just be transparent with you, we were worrying about our loved one. We were anxious about our loved one. It was like this weight upon us that was overwhelming us. And it was almost like the pain of a dull toothache that just wouldn't go away. It's just constant throbbing pain. And we were just talking to each other like, what are we going to do? Is there anything that we can do? Is there anything we can do? We got to do something. We got to figure out what to do. And we were just anxious and we were worrying about it. And this is after being a Christian for 40 years. So we all have those weak moments in our life. And God doesn't condemn us for having those moments. He realizes that we are human beings, right? And he can relate to our weaknesses, and He gives us grace and His strength when we are weak. And in that moment, the Holy Spirit arrested me, and this is where this message came from. We're crying out to God, what can we do? What can we do? And I said something about, well, we can pray. We've got the power of prayer. It was almost like that was a secondary thought. Like we need to figure out what to do. We got to do this, and we got to do this, and we got to do this. And then it was like, and then we got to pray. And it was like the Holy Spirit arrested me and said, prayer is the most powerful thing you can do in this situation. Prayer is the most powerful thing that you can do in this situation. And this is where he took me to Philippians chapter 4. He said, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. And so today we're going to be talking about the power of faith-filled prayer. We're going to be talking about what happens in the spiritual realm, what happens in the natural realm when people pray faith-filled prayers. He said, instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank him for all he has done. You know, again, this is, it goes back up into verse 4 where it talks about joy and rejoicing. He's talking here about attitude. Thank God. If we could keep ourselves in an attitude of gratitude, an attitude of thankfulness for all that God has done. I say this many times to our teams when we're out there suffering on the mission field, going through some really rough situations. There's a tendency for us to want to complain, but I will remind myself and our teams, we have so much more to be thankful for than we have to complain about. And I believe this was the heart of what Paul was saying here. Tell God what you need. God's not like freaking out if we talk to him about some needs that we might have in our life. He's not freaking out if we're worried about something or anxious about something. He wants us to talk to him and tell him what we need. And then it says to thank him for all he has done. Just think about the great things that God has done in your life before. This reminds me of Jesus' disciples. Sometimes they were a little thick. You know, Jesus had to work with them to get some thoughts and ideas through their head sometimes. But if you remember, there was a time when Jesus was out preaching and the people got hungry and they didn't have any food. And the boy gives his fish and his bread to Jesus, and Jesus multiplies it and feeds thousands of people with a little bit of fish and bread, right? And then a few chapters later, Jesus does the same thing again. And then a couple chapters later, his disciples are walking along and Jesus makes a statement and he says, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees. And immediately the disciples' minds go into natural mode. Jesus is in spiritual mode. Disciples go into natural mode. And they realized he mentioned something about leaven or yeast. And so they immediately start talking about that they don't have enough food to eat. They're wondering, what are they going to do for dinner tonight because they don't have any food on them because Jesus mentioned the yeast of the Pharisees. And then I can just imagine Jesus is like, and he even said something like, how long will I be with you? And he said, basically he says, don't you guys get it yet? And then he makes this statement and he says, do you not remember the time that I fed thousands of people with that little boy's fish and bread? And then do you not remember the other time that I fed thousands more with just a little bit of provision, how I multiplied what you needed? Don't you remember that? I believe that this is what Paul is saying to us. Tell God what you need. Talk to him about what's going on in your life, but thank him for all he's done. Remember what God has done for you in the past. If he did it for you before, aren't you certain that he will do it for you again? If he did it in the Old Testament, if he did it for his disciples, if he did it for this one and he did it for that one, can we not remember that he would do it also again for you? I believe that if we will just shift our attitude a little bit like this, we will experience the benefits of what he's talking about in these verses. Don't worry about anything. What are we worried about? What are we worried about? For me, one of my greatest weaknesses is my family. Sometimes I'm on the other side of the world. I've got family so far away, and sometimes I worry about my family. Parents, sometimes we worry about our kids, don't we? Even adult kids. I think raising adult kids is harder than raising kids. Anybody out there? Sometimes I worry about my grandchildren, and my oldest one is only 3. What do we worry about? We worry about our family. We worry about our spouse. We worry about our children. We worry about our grandchildren. We worry about our education. We worry about our finances. We worry about the ridiculous, crazy politics that are happening in our own country. We worry about inflation. We worry about the cost of living. We worry about the cost of gas. We worry about so many things because we're human. But Paul says, don't worry about anything. don't worry about anything. He said, pray about everything. Some of you have been worrying about some things, and this message is for you. This is not a message of condemnation. This is a message of hope. This is a message of encouragement that you don't have to carry that weight of worry around anymore. You don't have to walk around with the pain of that nagging, that throbbing pain of that feels like a toothache in your worry, the worry part of your life. You can be free of worry. In the Voice translation, it says, do not be anxious about things. This is a word for somebody. You came in here, you said you need a word from God, here's your word. Don't be anxious about things. Don't be anxious about things. Instead, pray. He says, pray about everything. God longs to hear your requests. God longs to hear your requests. God cares about every area of your life. God is not condemning you. God is saying, hey, I care and I long to hear what's on your heart. I long to hear your requests. So talk to God about your needs. Talk to God about your needs and be thankful for what has come. So here we have two choices. Paul gives us two choices in these verses. We can worry or we can pray. Just like in the Old Testament, it says, I set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. New Testament, I set before you worry or prayer. In the Old Testament, it says, therefore choose life. I'm going to give you the answer for your decision today. Don't choose worry, but choose prayer instead. We have two choices, anxiety or prayer. We're going to talk today about the power of faith-filled prayer and how that faith-filled prayer changes life's situations and circumstances. If there's something in your life that you want to see changed today, something in the life of a child, a grandchild, a family member, a job, a financial situation, it's through the power of faith-filled prayer that we can see these things change. James chapter 15, verse 16. These are familiar verses. It says, the prayer of a righteous person. If Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior, then you have been made the righteousness of God in Christ. You are that righteous person that James is talking about here. The prayer of a righteous person is powerful and effective. Notice it does not say the prayer of a perfect person. God is not waiting for you to have everything in line and perfect in your life before you can pray effective prayers. It just says here, those who are righteous can pray effective and powerful prayers. New Living Translation says the earnest prayer. You know, when the battle of our life in this situation I was telling you about, we were praying earnestly. There was an earnestness, a fervency, a relentless pursuit for the answers that we needed in this situation. That's earnest prayer. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power. I want you to understand, living within you, the faith that Jesus has deposited within you, the faith that the Holy Spirit works with within you, has great power and it produces wonderful results. Great power in you to produce wonderful results. In the Passion Translation, it says, tremendous power is released. Tremendous power is released through the passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. I want you to understand the kind of power that lives on the inside of you through the power of faith-filled prayer. It tells us, don't worry, but to pray. Worry is meditation on the power of evil. Worry is meditating on the power of evil and on the outcome that you dread the most. Worrying is visualizing the thing that you do not want to happen. Whatever it is your son or daughter are going through right now, whatever it is your bank account says right now, worry is going to tell you the thing that you do not want to happen. That's meditating on the power of evil. Prayer is meditation on God's will for your life. Prayer is meditating on God's will for your life and the outcome that you really desire. The thing that you hope for. Hope is a powerful force. And God wants to fill your hearts, regardless of how dark the situation may appear in your life. God wants to fill your heart this morning with hope. Because faith works in an environment of hope. And that's what prayer does. It meditates on the desired outcome, the thing which you hope for. Worry makes you powerless. Worry makes you powerless, and it gives your negative circumstances control in your life. Worry is like a harsh taskmaster, and it gives your situation and circumstances complete control in your life. You feel like you have no control to change anything. And sometimes I know what you feel like, because I felt like that in the situation that I was telling you about. I felt so powerless. I felt so helpless. I felt like there was nothing that I could do to bring the results that we were looking for. And that's what worry does. It makes you powerless. But prayer puts the power in your control. Prayer puts the power in your control to determine the outcome of the circumstances which you're facing. And this is where faith and patience work together. You know, sometimes we're like an instant society. We want everything right now. We want it delivered to our doorstep. I mean, Amazon's working out the drone situation so that you can press the button, and just like on the Looney Tunes cartoons, remember the Wile E. Coyote would order something from what was that? Yeah, Acme, and then all of a sudden it shows up immediately. That's the way we want things. But when you're dealing with these kinds of situations, circumstances in our lives, it doesn't automatically change overnight. But it's through faith and patience we can maintain control and determine the final outcome of the situations which we are facing in our lives. Worry, what I'm saying here is very simple and elementary, but worry has no power to produce positive outcome. So why do we give place to worry when we know that there's no positive outcome that will come from it? Worry has never helped any one of us pay a bill, right? It's never paid your kid's tuition. Where are we going to get the money for this? You know, worry has not built one church for us. Being anxious about opening a new school, it's never worked to produce the provision that we've needed. Worry and anxiety never work. More worrying has never healed you of a sickness. Worrying about your physical condition isn't going to heal you. I can promise you that. It'll actually make you worse. Worry will not make your family be any safer. When your kids, your teenager gets their driver's license, you worrying about them driving isn't going to make them safer. I promise you. No amount of worrying will bring your sons and daughters closer to God. Having adult children now myself, I can understand sometimes the temptation to worry and have anxiety about kids. But you know what? Our worrying isn't going to bring them closer to God. As much as we want them to be closer to God, worrying about it isn't going to do it. So why worry? Not one moment of worry will make anything better. Yet, some of us have become habitual worriers. Worry never helps anything. Worry will only cause negative outcomes. You realize that? Worry only produces negative outcomes in our life. It will affect you physically. It's proven scientifically that worry, anxiety, fear, depression, they affect us physically. If you go into the drug rehab centers, the alcohol, the addicted rehab centers, many people find themselves in that condition because they gave in to anxiety and worry and fear and depression, and it drove them to some kind of an addictive substance in their life. Worry is a very dangerous, powerful, emotional experience that can take you into some very dark places. So we must reject it. We must resist it with everything we have within us. It affects us mentally. It affects us spiritually. And it affects us relationally in a negative way. Fear paralyzes us. It keeps us from making any kind of progress in our lives, in our relationships, in any area of our life. Worry simply is the manifestation of fear in our lives, and fear will paralyze us. I like to think of prayer as our first responder. Prayer is like a first responder. When there's an emergency, when there's a situation that arises, What do? We call for the first responders. And prayer must never be our last option. Many times it's like a crisis breaks out, a situation unfolds before us, and we immediately go into, okay, I'm going to solve this, I'm going to fix this, I'm going to do this, I'm going to figure out a way to get this done, and then, oh yeah, we should probably pray about that. No, let prayer be your first response to any kind of crisis and situation in your life. It must be our first option, not our last option. When we mix prayer and we mix wisdom and obedience, it will always lead to positive outcomes. Shall I say that again? I want to get this in our way of thinking here. When we mix prayer and wisdom and obedience, it will always lead to positive outcomes. It doesn't mean the positive outcome will happen immediately, but if we will be consistent in prayer and wisdom and obedience, I can assure you that things are going to get better. They may not ever be perfect, but things will get better. You know, when we talk about prayer, many times people think that prayer is just telling God all the things that you want and all the things that you need. It's a whole lot of one direction talking. But, you know, there's an important part of prayer that we must remember, and that is listening. When we face a situation or a circumstance or a crisis in our lives, we need to, since we have two ears and one mouth, we should be listening to God twice as much as we're talking and asking. Because when we listen, then God gives us the proactive solutions that we need to implement so that we can change our situations. Because I think there's a practical side to what I'm talking about here. When we go through situations and circumstances in our lives, it doesn't mean that we just lock ourselves in a room, twiddle our thumbs, and say, okay, God, take care of all my problems. No, we have to address the issues, but we do it from a place of prayer. We do it from a place of wisdom. We do it from a place of obedience. And God gives us those proactive solutions to implement so that we can overcome whatever situation is that we're facing. We cannot have that wisdom. We cannot have those solutions. We cannot be proactive if we're not listening to what God is telling us to do. And sometimes we don't always understand what God is telling us to do. A good example of that is a guy you guys have probably heard of named Moses. Moses was asked to do the impossible. He had some like really stressful things that he could have been worrying about and be anxious about. I don't know the last time you had an Egyptian army chasing you down to kill you and having to stand with 3 million people that you're trying to escape them in front of a sea. But you can imagine that there was a temptation for anxiety that crossed Moses' mind. Would you agree? But what happened? God gave him, as he prayed, he was obedient, and God gave him the solution to take care of the army that was chasing them down to kill them. So we have to listen when we're praying. And some of us haven't been listening very well because we've been worrying too much. You go into your prayer room and say, I'm going to pray over this situation. Next thing you know, you're writing down all the things you're worried about and how you're going to fix it yourself. And God's saying, I'm right here. Could you please listen for a moment, because I see from a different perspective than you, and I can show you exactly what I need you to do in this situation. Am I talking to anybody here today? All right, you're really quiet here, but I'm taking that as you're soaking in the intensity of what I'm saying to you. Remember, James 5 says, the prayer of a righteous person makes a lot of power available to bring out the results that we want. So when we pray with hearts full of faith in God's promises, nothing is impossible to us. Like the situation that I said that Julie and I have been in the battle of our life, it looked impossible. It looked like there was no hope. It looked like game over. But I stand here today telling you that we are currently winning in that situation. And granted, there's more distance to go. And we are relentless in our faith and our prayer in this situation. But I'm telling you today, we are winning. The last year has been crazy for us, probably for many of you too. COVID seemed easy compared to the last year. But in all those situations, I was telling Mr. Dyke on the way here, when he picked me up at the airport last night, on the way here today, I was telling him in these situations, this situation, this family situation, this family situation, this financial situation, we're not winning. We're now in the winning column on all these situations, but it has been a relentless fight of faith in prayer, standing on the promises of God's word to see change come in these areas, these situations that we've been facing. Some people may look at Julie and me and think, man, you guys haven't made, you've got this great multinational ministry and you're going here and you're doing that and you've got these wonderful 3 grandbabies and you know what? We go through stuff. I'll just say it like that. We go through stuff like you guys go through stuff. But it's the same principles, the same promises of God's word that work for us, that work for you. So nothing is impossible to us if we have hearts full of faith. The prayer of faith is not a request. When we get into praying what like I'm talking about, it's not a request. It's not a petition. It is a prayer of declaration. We are declaring God's will. We are declaring God's word over the situation. We don't deny the situation exists. Some people get it wrong and they think, you know, if I just deny it long enough, it'll go away. No, denial means that you're not applying your faith to the situation that is real. That there are some things that are facts. If you get a diagnosis from the doctor, that's a fact. You can't say that you don't have that because you do have that. It's a fact. But we can begin to declare God's word and God's truth over the fact so that we can bring about the change that we hope for, that we know is God's will in our lives. Can someone say amen to that? The prayer of faith is a declaration of what you know to be the will of God. That's why it's important that we know the word of God and so we can declare the will of God over our life. The prayer of faith is a declaration of all that Jesus has accomplished on your behalf through the finished work of the cross. Jesus has accomplished everything he's going to accomplish. He's not going to do anything more. He's already accomplished it, and it's written in his word, and through the declaration, through our faith declaration, we are bringing to pass everything that Jesus has already provided for us through the resurrection and through the cross and through the blood that was shed for us. Amen. Think about that for a moment. Selah. Like, just think about that for a moment. He's already accomplished everything that we need. Effectual prayer is the force of faith being released through the power of your words. I'll say that again. Effectual prayer is the force of faith being released through the power of your words. And prayer works by faith. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 says, God can be trusted to keep his promise. Trusting God is same as saying, have faith in God. God can be trusted to keep his promises. Mark 11, 22 through 24. Have faith in God. Regardless of your situations and circumstances, it doesn't say when everything's peachy and everything's nice and you're walking on the mountaintop. It says, in this life, have faith in God. And then he says, for verily I say unto you, whosoever shall say to the mountain, be removed, be cast into the sea, and don't doubt in your heart, but believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he'll have whatever he says. Therefore, Jesus says, I say to you, whatever you desire, when you pray, whatever you desire, when you pray, what's the next word? Believe. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe. Julie and I had some very deep desires in this battle for our loved one. And according to Jesus, we desired it. We pray for it. And we believe. And it doesn't say believe only for a little while. And if it doesn't happen, give up. It just simply says believe. There's no end to that. You know, in the kingdom of God, time is not an issue. Faith is now. The same faith that God responded to in the time of the Old Testament is the same faith that God is responding to now. He simply says, whatever you desire when you pray, believe. And end of subject. Whatever you desire, when you pray, believe. You receive it, and you will have it. That's what our Bible says. Prayer without faith in God is empty and it's powerless. Prayer without faith is simply blowing hot air into the room. Prayer without faith is sending words that bounce off the ceiling back to your own ears. But prayer with faith is a powerful force in the spiritual realm that cannot be stopped. The way we access, faith is the way that we access all that God has given to us. Faith is the force that activates the promise of God. Faith is the force that activates the power of God in our life. Faith is the force that activates God's kingdom into your life, into your situations. It is through faith that we are able to pull into our reality, into the reality of this world, the reality of what already exists in His world. Faith is what brings heaven to earth into your life. Now, let me just say this. Our faith is not in our praying. Because I'm talking about the power of faith-filled prayer, and I'm talking about, you know, the subject I'm on today, and I don't want you to make the mistake to place your faith in your praying. Your faith is not in your praying. Your faith is in the one that you are praying to. Your faith is in the promises that God has already made to you. It's not about how eloquent you pray. It's not about how many Bible verses you quote while you're praying. It's not about the length of time that you pray. It's not about the volume of your voice when you pray. So I've been in some prayer meetings where like one person goes a little bit louder and then this person goes a little bit louder. And it's like a yelling match. And I can imagine God up there like, guys, settle down. What are you doing? It's not, don't put your faith in your praying. Put your faith in the one that you're praying to and the promises that He has already made to you. You know, when you're in the battle of your life, some of you may be or some of you might be soon, just knowing that you have the power of prayer working for you gives you the confidence that everything's going to be okay. I'm a really optimistic person. I'm always looking at the glass half full. I don't ever see it half empty. I'm just a real optimistic person. And so when it came to this situation, as dark as it seemed, as difficult as it seemed, as impossible as it seemed, I always remember, we've got God on our side. We've got the God factor. If we have the God factor in this equation, we're going to come out on the other end and we're going to win. So I want you to think about that. When you're going through that battle, just remember, you have the power of prayer on your side. You have God on your court. And I think of when I say things like God factor, I think, like to use an analogy, If we were going to go out on the basketball court and play 2-on-2, and let's say Jeremy and Chris, is it? Chris and Jeremy, I'm taking you two on the basketball court today. And then, but I can choose my player, right? I choose Michael Jordan. So what's the, everybody in this room, if you're betting, you know that I'm going to win. Why? Because I have the Jordan factor. Jeremy, Chris. I got Jordan. He's on my side. We win every time. No question. I want you to think about that with the God factor. You have the God factor on your side when you pray in faith, believing His promises in the situation you're facing. God is on your side. And if God is for you, who can possibly be against you? Amen. So what happens when we pray? What happens when we pray faith-filled prayers? Now, Jeremy did something very dangerous earlier. He came over and he said, "You can take as much time as you want." I said, "Jeremy, that's dangerous. Telling me that I'm not going to keep you too long, but I don't want to leave this part off because it's so good. I'm not going to abuse my freedom of time." What happens when we pray faith-filled prayers? What happens in the spiritual dimension when we pray? See, prayer is not a religious exercise. Prayer is a spiritual exercise. and it affects the spiritual dimension. Prayer is a spiritual force. Faith is a spiritual force that affects the spiritual dimension. And we have to understand, and we don't have time to get into a deep Bible study about this today, but we can understand from Scripture that what is happening in the natural realm is the result of what is happening in the spiritual realm. I'll say that again. What is happening in the natural realm is the result of what is happening in the spiritual realm. And we know that Satan is the god of this world system. And we can see that this world system, as Jesus and Paul prophesied in the last days, this world system is going to go crazy. We can see that happening in our own country. We can see that happening around the world today, where the what's happening in the spiritual realm is simply manifesting in the natural realm. The war in Ukraine is the result of spiritual activity. The darkness of false religion across the unreached nations of the world is the result of spiritual activity that has manifested in the natural realm. What's happening in the United States of America right now is the result of what's happening in the spiritual realm over this nation that God chose to be a light in the last days. And so this is why it's important that we pray, and this is why it's important that we vote, and this is why it's important that we are not deceived. So what's happening in the natural is a result of what's happening in the spiritual. If we want to change what we see in the natural realm, it begins things in the spiritual dimension first. When we pray from a position of spiritual authority. We're not praying from a position of natural authority. We're not in a position of as a president or a governor or a political or positional authority. We are praying from a place of spiritual authority. We're praying from a place of spiritual dominion that God has given to us and has been delegated to us by God. We have responsibility on this earth to use the authority and the dominion that God has given to us as his representatives. God does not usurp his authority. If it was all up to God's authority, the world would not be in the condition that it is today. But he's given you and me authority in the earth. And we have to rise up, and the Church of Jesus Christ, universal, worldwide, must understand their position of authority and dominion so that we can bring the kingdom of God here. Again, there's a depth of teaching that would take days to go into, but we have to understand that we pray from this position. We don't pray from a position of being like the scum of the earth or some beggarly person in the kingdom of God. We pray from a position of royalty and position of dominion and authority in the kingdom of God. And when we pray, we must believe that amazing things are going to happen. We must believe that the forces of the kingdom of God will be released in this world through prayer. What I'm talking about is not some mystical, fairy tale kind of story here. What I'm talking about is the reality of the kingdom of God. With that understanding, let's talk for a moment real quick. What happens when we pray? Number one, when we pray, prayer releases the power of the Holy Spirit. Prayer releases the power of the Holy Spirit. We see that in Acts chapter 4. You see it all through the book of Acts. When God's people got together, the early church, what did they do? They would meet from house to house. They had community. And it wasn't just one charismatic celebrity, man of God, that was telling everybody what to do. It was the body working together, praying together. And when they would pray, the Holy Spirit would move in powerful ways. And when the Holy Spirit moved, in this case, in chapter 4, it says that they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And then those who were called to preach went out and preached the word of God with boldness. So we see the power of the Holy Spirit is released when we pray. The situation that Julie and I were facing, we needed the Holy Spirit to be released into the situation. We needed the power of the Holy Spirit to come and to convict and to help and to encourage and strengthen and to deliver in this situation. Second thing that happens when we pray, and this is so powerful, it's so powerful sometimes it just goes right over our head.
Second thing that happens when we pray is it gets God involved. Again, bringing the God factor in. It gets God involved in bringing to pass the things he asked us to pray about. So again, think of the two on two. What's your name? Ozzy. So me and Ozzy against Chris and Pastor Jeremy. I don't know. Toss up. But if I bring the God factor, or if I bring the Jordan factor, sorry, Ozzy, you sit in the bench, I'm bringing Jordan in, right? And I know I'm going to win then. If it's Ozzy and me, I don't know if we're going to win, we might lose. But if I have Jordan, we win every time. So this is where faith-filled prayer gets God on the court. It says, God, I'm opening the door to have your intervention in this situation. And I'm telling you, when God intervenes, things change. Things change. In Matthew chapter 18, you know these verses. It says, when two or three are gathered together in my name, if you agree here on earth concerning anything you ask, my Father in heaven will do it. My Father in heaven will do it. My Father in heaven will do it. God comes on your court and you win because you prayed. Jeremy, you may know who this quote comes from. It comes from one of the older guys, one of the generation before us. But he said, God does nothing on the earth unless someone prays. Who said that? I think it was John G. Lake. God does nothing on the earth unless someone prays. Think about that. God's hands are tied in your situation until you realize your first option is prayer. And when you release that first option, it unties the hands of God to intervene in your situation, come onto the court and help you win. Number three thing that happens when we pray. This one is so powerful. And sometimes I think it's hard for our minds to conceive. But when we pray, it releases angels to work on our behalf. Angels are as real as you are sitting in here today. I know that may sound freaky to some of you, but it is true and it is a reality. It releases angels to work on your behalf. In Acts chapter 12, it says Peter was in prison, and it says the church prayed very earnestly for Peter. Next thing we hear is as a result of the people of God, and it doesn't say that the celebrity guy was praying some powerful prayer and everyone was so moved by the eloquence of his prayer. It just says they were all praying, right? The body of Christ, the family of God, praying together, says they prayed earnestly, and it says an angel of the Lord stood before Peter and he struck him on the side and he said, get up, and he opened the prison doors, and the next thing you know, Peter's knocking at the gate where the people are praying. So we see the ministry of angels at work when we pray. In our situation, I'm absolutely convinced that we are going to hear the testimony of angelic visitation in the deliverance of this person that we've been praying for, and because we believe in the ministry of angels. In Psalm 103, verse 20, it says, so bless the Lord, all his messengers of power. This is the Passion Translation. It says, all his messengers of power, angels, for you are his mighty heroes who listen intently to the voice of his word to do it. When you speak God's word over the situation that you're facing right now, angels do not hear your voice. They hear the voice of God's word. They don't hear your voice. They hear the voice of God. When we speak God's word with authority in the spiritual realm, your voice is not the distinct voice. It is the voice of God that is the distinct voice. And the angels and the demons bow and obey the word of God that comes out of your mouth. This is some powerful stuff. If we only realized the arsenal that God has given to us through the power of faith-filled prayer, we would never doubt again of God's greatness and power to change our situation. We see also, with regard to angels, in Daniel chapter 10, again, I would love to do a month-long class on this because it's so powerful. But we see when Daniel prayed, it says 21 days later, the messenger angel named Gabriel delivered the message. And he said, Daniel, from the first moment you prayed, God heard your prayer. And when God heard your prayer, I was sent to you. When we pray faith-filled prayers, God hears our prayer and he sends angels. And then it says that when he was sent, he was withstood by demonic force. And then when he continued to pray, God sent another angel who was a warrior so that he could help the messenger get through to Daniel. But it was through the power of prayer that these angels were released to bring the answer that he needed. And again, look at the time frame. It was 21 days. Sometimes we pray and we want it now, but we have to understand there is a process and there is activity that takes place to bring the changes that we desire to see in those situations. But realize this, when you pray faith-filled prayer is word-filled prayer. When we pray faith-filled prayer, there is movement in the spiritual realm and there are angels released to bring to pass the things which we pray about. Number four, prayer changes natural situations and circumstances. Case in point, there was a time in Mark chapter 4, Jesus and his disciples, they're going across the Sea of Galilee, the storm arises, Jesus is asleep in the boat, and the disciples get afraid, they think they're going to die. This is a crisis. This is a situation, a circumstance like we find ourselves in sometimes, like there's no hope, we're going to die, we're never going to make it out of this. That was the situation they found themselves in. Jesus is asleep in the boat. You know the story. They wake him up. What does Jesus do? He speaks to the storm. He says, "Peace, be still." And it says immediately there was a calm that came. And then he says to his disciples, basically, I'll paraphrase it in the Todd version. Basically, what Jesus said to his disciples, "Guys, you didn't need to wake me up. You have the same authority that I have. I've given that to you. You could have also spoken to the storm and it would have been still." So we have the power to change natural situations and circumstances through faith-filled prayer simply by declaring and speaking God's word. When he said peace, peace is a powerful force. And this is how we quiet anxiety. This is how we quiet stress. This is how we quiet fear. We speak to the worry. We speak to the anxiety. We speak to the depression. And it must obey the voice of God's word. Again, I quoted earlier, Mark 11, 22 through 24. Jesus, it says, "Whoever shall say to the mountain." And then it says, "Those things which he says shall come to pass. He will have whatever he says." So we have to understand that there's power in the spoken word coming out of your mouth when it is filled with faith. It has the power to change the natural circumstances that you're facing. Lastly, number five, prayer stops the enemy's schemes and attacks. Prayer stops the enemy's schemes and attacks. In 2 Corinthians 10:4, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but they are mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds." So we must understand that we have the power to stop the enemy's attacks. There's a story in Judges that gives us a good, it's a, like a type and a shadow of what I'm talking about here. It says in Judges 7, 16, it says, "He divided 300 men into three groups and gave each man a ram's horn, a clay jar with a torch in it." Okay, so we've got a horn, we've got a clay jar, and a torch. Okay, then he said to them, "Keep your eyes on me. When I come to the edge of the camp, do just as I do. As soon as I and those with me blow the ram's horns, blow your horns too, all around the entire camp, and shout for the Lord and for Gideon." It was just after midnight, after the changing of the guard, when Gideon and the 100 men with him reached the edge of the Midianite camp. Suddenly they blew the ram's horns and broke their clay pots. Then all three groups blew their horns and broke their jars. They held the blazing torches in their left hands and the horns in their right hands, and they all shouted, "A sword for the Lord and for Gideon." Each man stood at his position around the camp and watched as the Midianites rushed around in panic, shouting as they ran to escape. So remember, we've got a clay pot, we've got a fire, and we have a trumpet. The vessel or the clay pot represents you. That clay pot is you, and we break it. So what that means is we crucify our flesh with its passions, lusts, and desires. We give ourselves to God in total brokenness in our sinful nature. And then the fire represents the Holy Spirit that now indwells us. And the trumpet represents prayer. So we see that this is what happens when God's people pray. Put down our flesh. One of the greatest hindrances to a prayer life is our flesh. Because sometimes it takes great discipline and it takes a great determination to surrender your life to prayer. Like a few years ago, I started running marathons. And you would say, why would you do something so ridiculous? I don't know. I just did. But, you know, it takes a lot of discipline to train to run 26.2 miles. And it takes a lot of discipline to continue to carry on that exercise and that discipline. But the benefits are so much greater than the sacrifice. And the same is with prayer. If we could just have that self-discipline to say, I crucify my flesh. I break that clay vessel right now. I'm going to be diligent and consistent in prayer. And then we surrender to the Holy Spirit to lead us in prayer. Who led Gideon to have this particular strategy? This is a ridiculous war strategy. For them to overcome the Midianites with 300 men by breaking a clay jar and having a torch and yelling, that's ridiculous. But yet the Holy Spirit, they surrendered to him to do what he told them to do. God may lead you to take communion every day for a week. God may lead you to fast a certain number of days. God may lead you to do something that you think in your mind is totally ridiculous. He may encourage you to run a marathon next year. I don't know. But whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, come on. Come on, Chris. You can do it. You can do it. Whatever the Holy Spirit tells you to do, that's the strategy. That's the strategy for prayer. And then the trumpet, releasing that sound. When you pray, there is a sound in the spiritual realm. And like I said earlier, it is not your voice. It is not a distinction, you know, where demons are hearing your voice. They hear the voice of God's word, and they must bow to the voice of God's word. The angels are not hearing your distinct voice. They're hearing the distinct voice of God and his word. And so there is a sound in the trumpet of prayer that God wants to release through you in your life. I could tell you story after story of times that God's led me into prayer in impossible situations when we've seen the results. We've seen him come through. We've seen God come on our court and the God factor come into the situation and God intervenes and we see the outcome that we hoped for. Was it as quick as we would like every time? No. Was it the way we thought it was going to happen every time? Not really. The result that we were looking for came in various ways. Bottom line is, I don't care how it comes, as long as it comes. As long as we get all these areas into the winning column. Right now, you might feel like you're losing in some of your areas. Don't take your eyes off the power of prayer and begin to imagine, get it in your mind's eye right now, winning in that situation. Whether it's a son, a daughter that's addicted to drugs or alcohol, whether it's a situation where someone that you love so much has turned their back on God. Get an image in your heart, in your mind right now, and contend in prayer. Speak God's word. Have faith that God will come onto the scene and intervene and change that situation. Maybe you're facing financial peril in the moment. It's keeping you awake at night. You're worrying about it. It's driven you maybe to drinking or something else or whatever. God does not condemn you. God is for you. God's arms are open wide to say, come to me for help. I want to help you through the situation. I promise you he will. It may not happen like or when you want it to, but I promise you that God will help you. If you're struggling this morning with worry, with anxiety, with depression, if you're struggling with overwhelming stress, if you're struggling with situations that look impossible and you don't know what's going to happen or how it's going to happen, I want to encourage you today. God is on your side. God cares. He hasn't left you. Your family, God family right here cares and will stand with you in whatever you may be going through today. And I promise you that the same God who helped Julie and me take a an impossible situation and now put it into the win column, he'll help you too. If you'll trust him, if you'll believe him, if you'll pray, if you'll release the power of faith-filled prayer, great things can happen. Great things will happen in you and for you. Let's stand together. I want us to pray together right now, because there may be someone around you that everything looks right on the outside, but they may be going through hell in some area of their life. Maybe that's you. You've just been overwhelmed with anxiety, stress, fear. You've lost your peace. God wants to give you a peace that passes understanding. My dad passed away on September 26th. My mom and dad had been married for 65 years. And my mom, I'm amazed at God's grace and the comfort of the Holy Spirit. It's almost like a tangibility in her life. Maybe you've gone through a devastating situation. Chris, maybe right now that represents you. Others here, maybe you lost your business. Maybe a loved one left. You have estranged children. Comfort of the Holy Spirit, the grace of God, the strength, the spiritual and emotional strength of God is flowing into you right now. Just receive it like a drink of water, like a thirsty person coming out of a desert about to die of thirst. Drink it in. Just drink it in. Just breathe it in. Take a deep breath. Father, right now I pray over every person here. I pray that this message will be rooted in their hearts. They'll think about it. They'll hear it in the darkest of moments, God. I pray that you will remind them of the power of faith-filled prayer. Father, I pray that those who have been struggling with worry and anxiety and depression, I pray, Father, right now that you will supernaturally fill them with peace, Lord. Give them a peace that they just can't even describe. I thank you, Lord, that you deliver us from fear. Lord, even if we haven't been doing things right, even if we haven't been living right, Lord, I just know that you are for us. Your arms are open wide to receive us and to help us. Lord, I ask for the God factor to become a reality in everyone's heart and mind here today. That they would understand that you are for them, you're not against them. And with you on our side, how could we possibly lose? If you were willing to give Jesus on the cross for us, I know you will certainly do all these things for us too. And if you are for us, who could possibly be against us? Lord, I pray that just like the eyes of Elijah's servant were open to see that there are more with us than be with them, I pray that you will open their eyes right now to let them realize that the greater one is in them, that there are more with us than be against them, that the situation is not hopeless. There is hope, and things can get better. I pray that over everyone here, Lord, that you would just instill within us, put an image, give us the imagination to see things better through your power, through your word, through your promise, through the power of prayer. In the name of Jesus, Lord, I pray for deliverance from addictions. I pray for deliverance from fear. I pray for deliverance right now from worry and anxiety. We give place to you, Jesus. Have your way. And Lord, I pray for those things that have appeared to be losing or hopeless, that they will begin to see them in the win column. That they will begin to win. That you'll put a determination, a passion, a relentless attitude to win
in these situations. I pray for a righteous indignation against what the enemy has tried to do. Lord, I thank you for breakthrough. Whether it's today, tomorrow, next month, next year, we stand until we don't have to stand in that situation anymore, until we see the breakthrough that we know belongs to us through your promise. We thank you, Father, that through these prayers, through the prayers of your righteous people, power is being released, the spiritual realm is changing, and we will see the manifestation in the natural realm soon. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Pastor Jeremy, come on up. I want you to know I'm standing with you. I'm believing God for breakthroughs in your lives. I encourage you to stand on these promises and watch what God will do on your behalf. I'm not saying you'll never have another doubt. I'm not saying that worry won't come knocking on your door. I'm not saying that anxiety won't try to wake you up in the middle of the night. That's part of being human. You don't have to feel condemned or beat yourself up because you had those thoughts. But when they come, when fear comes, anxiety comes, worry comes, depression comes, treat it like the thing that you hate the most. Like, I hate snakes. If I see a snake, and there's a lot of them in Thailand, I'm going to find the nearest weapon, and I'm going to annihilate it. I'm not inviting it in. I'm not giving it place. I'm going to annihilate it. We need to treat fear and worry, anxiety, depression, overwhelming stress, treat it like that with the power of God's spoken word out of your mouth. And you watch what God will do in your life. Amen.
Thank you. Amen.
Amen. How many of you are glad you came today? I believe you're leaving more encouraged than when you came. Amen. Hold your hands out to receive the blessing of the Lord. May the Lord bless us, and may the Lord keep us, and may the Lord cause his face to shine upon us. May the Lord be gracious unto us and lift up his countenance upon us and give us shalom. Nothing missing, nothing broken. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, Jesus Christ, in the name of the Holy Spirit, 3 in 1. And everybody said, amen. God bless you. Have a great week.